What do you want me to say? Okay. Got it? All we have to do is okay, and just keep reading what they wrote down. So, okay. As the little guys are going out, I took the scavenger hunt packages to the food bank, and Lisa brought up an interesting thing that I didn't think of or was not aware of, is that some of our people are homeless that are receiving the donations. And what she brought to me was, if we have can openers, because a lot of the cans today are starting to have that snap tops, but some don't. So if we're thinking about it, you know, we can donate a can opener or something, you know, bring it in, we'll put it in a package and we'll take it to the food bank, because they say that this point in time, that is a need. For some of our families in our community. So keep that in mind. If you got a can opener and you're not using it, like in our house, I like to use my electric job. Irene likes to use the manual stuff opener. Donate that if you're not using it. These folks really need help, and the government has done a really good job in masking the dilemma that our nation is in. So, you know, we need to see with the eyes of the Spirit. We need to be motivated into action through our hearts. Amen? Amen. Everyone, take your swords out. This is the last time you'll hear of me speaking this year. We have two guest speakers that we'll be finishing out the year. So today I want to try to give you something to think about, because the coming year is going to be, if we think we're busy now, wait till this coming year. We're going to really be busy. You got your swords? Father, I have your word, and I know it's true. I am what it says I am. I have everything it says I have. And I can do everything it says I can do. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's message is activating your anointing. Activating your anointing. The Holy Spirit came and we received Jesus Christ. And Jesus is the anointed one. And if we're in his body, so are we. Okay? You're anointed. I mean, that's the good news. You're anointed.
Amen.
Gosh, yeah. Amen. Okay. Yeah, okay, I'm anointed. We have systematically been advancing our understanding of the Holy Spirit and the reason why he's here, why he dwells in us, and why he wants to come upon us in power and might. We have stepped into his realm, and now we must learn his ways in order for us to be successful in taking the things of the Spirit and moving them into the realm of the physical. Amen? We have learned because of God's great love that he sent his only begotten son to die on a cross to pay for our sins, our treason, our rebellion against the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And all of us who have received him, also we received his spirit. But that's only half the story. The other part of the story is we need to receive his power in order to accomplish that which God has gotten hold of us for. We need to understand that the next step of our journey is learning and thriving in this realm. This needs to be a 24/7 thing, not just on Sunday thing. We are supernatural beings empowered by a supernatural God to do a supernatural thing in this land. And the reason why we're here, or should be here, isn't because Jesus is in a manger or in any of that stuff. It's because the King is coming. And our job as ambassadors, as heralds, is to proclaim that he is coming. And we need to provide all those who are outside of the church the opportunity to hear the good news and make a decision whether they want to switch teams or not. I like to say, you have an opportunity to switch to the winning side. No matter what is going on in the world, we've won. It just needs to play out now. Turn to Isaiah 61. And as we're turning there, this is what Jesus proclaimed. And now we're going to proclaim it too. Isaiah 61, 1 through 5 says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me." Read this with me, because this is what we should be declaring. "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and to release from darkness those who are prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and provide those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruins, cities, and that have been devastated for generations." In Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I command you, and surely I am with you always, even to the end of this age." What we have today in the church is a lack of understanding, a lack of really what the purpose of the church is all about. And with that lack of understanding is a lack of understanding as to why we have the Holy Spirit with us. And I've heard numerous ways of presenting the Holy Spirit to us. You know, he came to teach us, to tell us things of the future, to change our hearts, to really empower us this life of victory. And that is all true. But his purpose is to release the anointing through each and every one of us. For everyone who claims the name of Jesus Christ, you have been anointed. The fact that you don't understand what this anointing is or how it works resounds in the church today. to where there are only pockets of those who really understand what the Holy Spirit is doing in this day and how we play a part with Him in accomplishing the will of God. You and I have been anointed to carry out the plans of God for the restoration of mankind into the relationship He died for. That is our job. We call that the Great Commission. The early church took this seriously and it fulfilled their responsibilities, and in less than 200 years spread it, the gospel, to most of the known world at that time. They had great zeal. They had great enthusiasm because they expected the Lord to return any time, and they did not want to be found slothful and forgetting. They were about Father's business. And it didn't matter what it cost them. They were willing to pay the price because they knew that what was shortly for them to behold was more glorious than what is here today and what we find. Let's fast forward 2,000 years now from the early church to today. Do we see that zeal? That same zeal that consumed the early church? No, we don't. We don't see it. What we have today is apathy in the church. It's somebody else's job. It's kind of like unionizing the spirit. I only do what I do. I don't do anything more. Read Ephesians 4 and see what God is saying. You and I have been anointed for a specific reason, for a specific purpose, to accomplish a specific plan that the Father has in mind for you and me to do. And if you don't know what your job is, or you refuse to do it, God will look for someone else because He's about fulfilling His will in the land. In the fullness of time, Jesus came to fulfill the Father's will. We are now, as I said, we are in this great spiritual shift that is happening. I sense it in my spirit. It is time for the church to arise and shine. It is time for the church to begin to understand the magnitude of its responsibility, not just in the church building, but to our fellow man that hasn't heard. We could say we love God with all our heart, our soul, and mind. And we can profess to say we love our brothers as we love ourselves. But the fact of the matter is, it doesn't pound out to what we're declaring. And Jesus doesn't concern Himself with what we say. He's more concerned about what we do with those words that we say. Because what we say and what we do has to be garnished with faith. And the Holy Spirit has anointed us to ignite that faith in such a way that we see the last great harvest come in to God's building before He returns. This is where we are today, church. This is what has to change, and it has to change within each and every one of us. As I said last week, we talk about righteousness. We talk about godliness, but we really don't pay attention to the deeper meanings of what that is. Righteousness is right standing with God, yes. For what purpose? To praise Him, to honor Him, to declare His marvelous works, to be in awe of Him, to be unrequite in our love for Him, And being godly or having godliness is how we treat one another as God treats us. The church must come out of its infantileness and begin to understand its responsibility. The church isn't here just to be a lifeboat so that we can continue to live in our carnality. It's not here. That's not what God designed. Yeah, we're to be a lifeboat, but what do you do with people in the lifeboat? You tell them what the rules are so you don't tip over. And then everybody is at loss. Jesus said, go and make disciples. Go and train them. He didn't say go and convert them. How you live is what you believe. And if Jesus isn't important to you, then why are you here? You see, what has happened in the church is the enemy has sent in, especially small churches, has sent in these religious spirits. And religious spirits, if you look at the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all that, they want to keep what is normal, what we've done in the past, what we have done. We don't want to move out of our comfort zones. We don't want to release the anointing so that God can be glorified and people can hear the good news and receive Him and begin to come to church. And so what is happening, the world is falling apart. Because the spirit of Antichrist is influencing the leadership of this world to total destruction. You and I are the answer to their problems. The church is God's answer to everyone's problem. How we answer that, it has to be according to His will and His ways. These spirits, these religious spirits, actually wanted to kill Jesus. Can you imagine? They wanted to kill Jesus. And it's happening today. These religious spirits want to kill the workings of the Holy Spirit. Say things like, oh, God doesn't do that anymore. Since we've had the scriptures and they're canonized, we don't need the Holy Spirit. He doesn't perform miracles. He doesn't speak about future things. You're anointed, but you're coming to that full anointing when Jesus comes. It's all lies. All lies. You have been anointed to preach the good news. That's the first step. To preach the good news. To open your mouth. It requires an action. It requires an action of your will. Oh, I'm not going to do it because I don't have that calling. You're going to do it. Whether you like it or not, because if you name the name of Christ, you're only hurting yourself. And He holds you responsible for the souls that He wants you to reach, whether you do it or not. So for me, in understanding this, I'm going to reach those souls that God wants me to reach so I can stand before Him and say, I did what you told me to do. I don't want to stand there and hear Him say, what did you do with my son? Did you do what I told you to do? Now, because I didn't feel like I had to. I was talking with someone, and what I see in the church today is a lack of fear of God. He's our friend. He's our buddy. Jesus wouldn't do that to us. No, you're doing it to yourself. Yes, he is our friend, but he is God. He is Lord. He is King. We are his servants. We don't get to pick and choose what he wants to do. Remember, when we signed up for a specific reason. We signed up to fulfill a specific call, to fulfill his will, not ours. Matthew 6:33 has to be a reality to us. Seek ye first the King and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you. He wants to tell you where we've messed up so that he can straighten it out and it put you on a path that he wants you for success. He doesn't want you to use your abilities and thought processes in how can I get out of my responsibility so that someone else pays for it and I don't have a sacrifice in this. It's too many in the church that aren't willing to sacrifice. There's too many in the church that feel it's somebody else's job. And I've heard it through the years. Well, Pastor, that's your job. Well, Pastor, this is your job. And I turn to Ephesians 4 and I say, read what my job is. I know what my job is. It's all that plus to train you, to teach you how to do the works of ministry. I'm not exempt from the simple things. If anything, because it's active in my life. It's active in my family's life. We walk what we say. It has to be active in the church. Jesus is my source. He is. Are you seeking him to meet your needs? Well, no, I just figured I'd ask someone else to make a sacrifice for me. I heard a story the other day that a person had asked in the church help to buy Christmas presents. Okay. And this person, this leader, paid for some gifts so that the children could have Christmas. And I said to him, where's the accountability? What do you mean? Well, why didn't they have money? They knew for a whole year that Christmas was coming. What did they do with their money for a whole year? Well, I never asked that. So at the last moment, when the rubber meets the road, I'm going to run to another source. I said, God's real specific about getting his house in order. Judgment starts in the house of God. Make a long story short, he canceled that check. Why? Because the person needed to learn stewardship. Need to learn how to budget. See, that's training to do the works of ministry. We can say that we're anointed all we want, but the fact of the matter is we don't live like we're anointed. We don't believe that we're anointed. Because if we did, our lives would take on a different look. Why doesn't people want to be in church? Why doesn't people want to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? And in the numbers I've seen, Western culture, the numbers in the church have decreased more than 20% in the last 10 years. Why? And what we have is people going to church who are going from one church to another church to another church, and the salvations are way low. This is just Western culture. I'm not talking about third world nations where they're coming to Jesus Christ like nobody's business. I ask why. You see, it's because these religious spirits have a root in your life and in my life that is trying to convince us that we're not anointed. We declare all we want that we're anointed, but until we move out in that anointing, it doesn't mean anything. We are not a threat to the kingdom of darkness. Every time we have stepped out in the things of God, because God has instructed us to do this, the enemy has come right up after that and attacked us. We have a new roof. I'm waiting for the attack. We're advancing in the kingdom of God. And I thank God for your obedience to give to the cause of Jesus Christ. But now it's time to sacrifice for the cause of Jesus Christ. Remember I said it's going to cost you everything that you are and everything that you have to be a Christian. It's all His. He just gives it to us to use. And He expects us to use it wisely and take care of it. He doesn't expect us to waste it on ourselves. And you talk about stewardship, we're all going to stand before Him and give an account. Why are we still doing the things like we're not going to be brought into account for this? If we fill our minds up with the lies of the spirits, are we any different than what Peter responded when Jesus told him what the will of the Father was for him? What was Peter's response? Oh no, be that not for you, Lord. You see, in Western culture, what has happened is we're more concerned about our comfort, our wants, our desires, and we're not concerned about those who are still lost. We're not concerned about Father's house. We're still believing my four no more. Last week I talked about my experience in five areas, of which today I am in two areas that God wants us all to be in. Remember I said we need to be awakened. We need to wake up to the realities of what's going on around us and get our lives in order. Two, I had an encounter. I was taken to the third heaven. I spoke with Jesus. I was there. Have you encountered Christ? See, He knocked me off my high horse just like He knocked Paul off his horse. Then He began to work, as I confessed my sins before Him, to change my heart, to turn my heart. I became a different man. And Irene had to deal with this change. Then I was filled. I constantly am in this area of being filled by the Holy Spirit because I pursue the Holy Spirit. I pursue God. I want more. And more. And I know I'll never be satisfied until I'm there with Him, but that doesn't stop me from pursuing Him. Why? Because the greatest part of this is the revelation of Him and His immense glory. And to know Him and to know His plan. That's why I exist. That's why I'm steadfast in pushing all this stuff forward. And I hear, oh, we're tired, Pastor. We're tired. Granted, we're all tired. And we can't continue to do the things that we're doing. We need to go out. And that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. These religious spirits want to hamper any advancement of the Holy Spirit. The question is, are you going to allow that to happen or not? Joshua said it real clear. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You do your thing. That doesn't negate what he says. We forget he's not like us. But we try to make him like us. And these religious spirits want us to diminish his glory to where we're friends with Jesus. How do we activate this anointing? Turn to Acts 10. Said all that to get us to the place that forgot my glasses. Okay. We'll do the best I can. Acts 10, starting in verse 34, and we'll read to verse 46. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him up from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by the witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God anointed or appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even onto the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, and he continued on. What was happening here? In the beginning of chapter 10, we receive the knowledge that the Holy Spirit spoke to Peter in a vision. Three times he brought the same vision to him. Peter wasn't a fast learner, but he eventually got it. Peter was seeking God, pursuing God. And the Holy Spirit spoke to him. At the same time Peter was seeking God in a Gentile house, Cornelius, he also was hungering and thirsting for more of God. He wanted a greater reality. And so what the Holy Spirit did was he heard his prayers and he found a vessel and he said, I'm going to bring these two together and then watch me work. Cornelius sent some men to go fetch Peter. And when Peter finally realized what was happening, here these guys are at the door. And I said, come with us. We've been sent to come get you, to come preach. And what I read to you was his preaching to the house of Cornelius. And all that heard the good news was saved. And the Holy Spirit fell upon them. They were baptized in the Spirit. at just the preaching of the word. Was Peter anointed? Obviously, because he's in Christ. Was the Gentiles anointed? No. They haven't heard yet. How did Cornelius know to send for Peter? He knew through the testimonies of others how Peter was a different person. He was no longer a fisher of food. He was a fisher of men. And God was taking care of him. There was this reality that was happening. And what has to happen is we need to pursue God. We in the church need to pursue God. Not just pastors, not just deacons, not just elders. The church needs to be seeking what God wants to do. The Acts, the book of Acts is about the church, not individuals. It shows what individuals did when they responded to the leading of the Holy Spirit, and this is just an example of that. How many of us have fallen into trances when the Holy Spirit wants to speak to us? How many of us have had visions and dreams? How many of us have we heard God speak audibly to us? How many of us have walked with angels? How many of us have seen them and spoken with them? This should be the normalcy of the church, not the exception. This is the realm of the Spirit that I'm talking about. This is the realm of the anointing. God anointed us to bring us into a cognizant awareness of the spiritual reality because we are spiritual people. He is spirit. He wants to use us to touch a physical realm. If we are not pursuing God, we will not hear the Holy Spirit. We will still do what we know to do in our carnality. And that has to change. What happens? When there is hunger, God expects His church to respond. And so that when hunger and expectancy come together, something powerful happens. It's the synergy of two things coming together in such a way that our lives count for something for the first time when we respond by faith. Peter responded by faith, although a Jew, he was told about the Gentiles, and what did he do? He protested. No, I've never been a part of that. I've never associated with that. Far be below me, Lord. And God dealt with his pride. Far be it from me, God, to get my life healed in such a way that I can be used for your glory. Far be it from me, Lord, to sacrifice on the behalf of someone else. Far be it from me, God, and you fill in the blank. And Peter goes to Cornelius' house. By faith, he's believing in the leading of the Holy Spirit. What has the Holy Spirit been speaking to you? And what has been holding you back from being obedient to His leading? And all of us can use 1,001 different excuses. I'm too tired. I don't have the money. That's not my calling. We see it with Ananias when he was told by the Lord to go and lay hands on Paul. And he goes, whoa, wait a minute, this guy kills us. If I go lay hands on him, he's just going to kill me. Is your life so valuable that you feel that you have to keep it? You see, it's not your life anymore. It's his. Let me tell you a little bit about NRP. Those guys get insulted when we talk about, you know, having them come in, pay for them, set them up, and all this other stuff. And Pastor Tusi says something that I've been chewing on for a long time. He says, you can't buy me. You can't buy me. See, his heart is set on being a blessing to the local church. And he doesn't want to take anything. He wants to impart something into the local church. And we've gotten this thing messed up a little bit. We have these big names come in, and we pay, and we set them up in hotels, and we do all this stuff. They should be wanting to come when asked and invited at no cost. You see, it's the responsibility of the local church to meet the needs, not the church family to meet the needs of someone coming in. That doesn't mean we don't want to bless them. It doesn't mean we don't want to pay for their plane or whatever. And I'm old fashioned. I bring them into my house because I'm a pig. I want what they have. So what better way for that to happen? You can't escape my house. Even if you close the door, I'll be knocking on it. Yo, I got another question. But somehow we've lost this because we've listened to these religious spirits that are influencing the church not to be the church. We've been born again. We have his spirit. We are anointed. But now it's time for that anointing to flow. It's time for that anointing to go out into the highways and byways. It's time for the anointing to really mean something. We just don't want to just say it because the religious spirits are happy with us just saying, I'm anointed. And we do nothing. You're anointed. Okay. To do what? Read Isaiah 61. It tells you what you're anointed to do. And whatever else the Holy Spirit wants from you. But that is the main condition of our anointing. But we want to use the anointing for us, ourselves. We don't want to use it to glorify God. Cornelius was hungry for God, and the Holy Spirit set up a divine appointment. When you are pursuing God, God hears a heart that's crying out. He wants to put the two together. It's an appointment. That's why I say things like, well, you know, God's speaking to me about you changing a job. God's speaking to me about this. God's speaking to me about that. It's not an option. I'm imparting to you what the Holy Spirit is saying because you don't have ears to hear what he's saying. Because you're not pursuing him. And it's like the words come out and boom. They hit the... Don't you understand what pastor's job is? My job is not only to lead this team. My job is to encourage this team to be all that you possibly can be. See, you haven't realized your greatest potential yet. You haven't even realized that you're a supernatural being. That's a hard concept to chew on. Let alone your anointing. That's even harder. And the more I keep talking about this, it seems like I see deer with their eyes wide open in the headlights. But I'm only telling you what our Father is saying about us. This is His reality. That has to be our reality. Because the reality of it is, if we don't go out and tell them about Jesus Christ, their reality is eternal separation from Him. And He died for the world. He didn't just die for you and die for me. You see, if we're anointed, those who are crying out to God, who don't know Him, have a hunger and a thirst. This is where Jesus said to the disciples, I have meat that you don't know of. You have meat that they want. I break it down to simply, when we show up, they have something to draw from. That well of living water that is in you, they want to draw that. They want to draw on the anointing of God from you. And if we're selfish, we're not going to do what God says. It goes back to what I said. Who is it that God is saying you need to go and talk to? Who is it that God wants you to meet? The other night, Gomez and I went out to Buffalo Wings. We're starting to build bridges to our community. He didn't speak that to me. He spoke that to him. And I said, can I come along? And we went out. He's responding to what the Holy Spirit is saying. He's preparing something so that the harvest can come in. If we don't do those things to build those bridges for people to come to Jesus Christ, then why are we in church? Why are we part of it? Salvation isn't a selfish thing. Salvation is a selfless thing. We must, in order to activate this anointing, we must be in pursuit of God. And when He speaks, we need to activate it with our faith. It is His job to put this thing together. It is our job to be obedient to what He is saying to us. This coming year, what God is saying is we're going to go to the highways and byways. We're going to compel them to come in. It's up to God to bring the harvest. It's up to us to do what He tells us to do. What is He saying to you? Who is it that is crying out for the Lord that He's laid that person upon your heart? What dream or vision or words of wisdom has He given to you to go? To go in all the world. You have the greatest gift contained within you. The gift of Jesus Christ. There's nothing that compares to Him. There's no other gift we can give except Jesus Christ. And we reveal that by the love He has bestowed upon us and how we love each other. There was a request made today. There's a need. I don't have the knowledge, but I'll find out so I can help meet that need. That's the church working together. That's the leadership doing the things that have to be done. Your giving isn't just, oh, I have to give. Don't give. You're giving with a wrong attitude. Give because you understand that it's going to meet somebody's need. Give because you have a part in this. Give because, you know, you love Jesus. We have so much, and we compare it to the world, and we say we don't have. Compare yourself to Christ. Compare yourself to heaven. Compare yourself and let Him show you what you already are in possession of. Then take that and give it away. How do you activate your anointing? By hearing Him and doing it by faith. That's the whole story here with Cornelius. There are people who are crying out, "Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God." And the religious spirits have us see the need and walk by. Now, Lisa didn't tell me about the need of a can opener. But God is showing me that He's making me aware there are even greater needs of simplicity. What can we do as the church? Not what can I do as the pastor. What can we do as the church to meet needs, to glorify Him? What has God laid on your heart? Write it down. Write it down. Let's sit down and talk. Let's see what we can do to make this thing happen. Amen? Amen. Father, I just thank You for this time. I ask God that this anointing that we have, it's now time to release it. I pray that everyone who has heard this word today, God, would take to heart that You have a specific purpose for our lives. You have a specific plan for our lives. And it is specifically designed to fulfill Your will. Help us put away childish things, God. Help us to be the church of Jesus Christ. Help us to see that nothing is too great or too small a sacrifice compared to what we have in the kingdom of heaven. Help us, O God. Fill us again, Holy Spirit, with Your spirit of love. Fill us again with the spirit of boldness. Fill us again with the mind of Christ, the zeal for Christ, the zeal to do the things that You've called the church to do. And let us be but the first that would say, why not now? Why not here? And why not with us? So God, as we go into this season, may we always remain cognizant that it's because of You and what You have done. Help us to help those respond to Your love. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.